laundry day. See you there, under things, tumbling. Wanna say, love your hair. Here I go, mumbling. With my freeze ray, I will stop the world. With my freeze ray, I will find the time to find the words to...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Vangelis Laundry Hour. I'm here to tell you all about just how many different kinds of detergents you can put into your load to get everything off your chest and make a double rainbow grow out of your washing machine.
Double rainbow.
Hi, everybody.
What does this mean?
I don't know. But I'm here to talk to you today about Transformers. And with me today is Gog Dog.
Hey, Chris.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How you been? How was your last week?
To be honest, today kind of sucked.
I should say, how was the last 2 weeks? I don't know how last week was, because I still haven't heard episode 112 yet.
Yeah, live update, just before we started recording. Well, it used to be just before we started recording. I finished encoding episode 112, and unfortunately I can't upload it while we're doing the podcast, because Skype will have a seizure. So, it's going to upload after we're done this. Yeah, technical difficulties really blow, especially when they happen one after another after another after another. Hi, Drew.
Yo, dog, what up?
My throat is dry. How do I fix it?
You gotta find a triple rainbow for that.
I'm gonna go to my local convenience store and ask them about that.
Hello, sir. You have a triple rainbow in stock?
My throat is dry. Also here today is Seth Buzzard!
Hello! you know the new Halo game is out in the wild?
Oh. Hi, everyone! We're all playing Halo Reach because Halo's awesome! Ah!
If it makes you feel better, I listened to the latest Gamepads Unplugged, and hearing you guys talk about Lair of the Shadow Broker, I'm probably going to buy that tomorrow.
Oh, you haven't got it yet?
The weekend. Not yet, no.
So, you weren't going to get it before?
No, I was. I just, hearing you guys talk about it has made me actually really excited, instead of just eagerly waiting.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, I thought you were, like, super into that.
I love Mass Effect 2. I'm saying I was going to get it, and hearing you talk about it makes me more excited than I already was.
You mean that would be the episode of Gamepads Unplugged called Mr. Vangelis Goes to PAX, available now on iTunes?
Yeah. That one.
Lord, you know what? You asked me about my last week. I actually was on a whole bunch of podcasting last week. I did WTF. I did that. I did Transmission Awesome. I did, like, my radio show afterwards, which is not a podcast, but it could be if I ever actually recorded it. So, me and this microphone have had a really good relationship going on.
And then the week before that, we did Canadian Slag.
Yeah, and also in that same week, I did a podcast about Ultraman. So, everywhere. And by the way, if you haven't listened to that Canadian Slag, you guys really should. Because
I did.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think that I completely ruined their topics a few times. But.
Yeah, it was really late, and by the end we were talking. But I think it turned out well, considering.
Well, this is the journey of personal discovery I went on over the last couple of weeks, going on all these different recordings, is that I found out that when I'm not the host, I'm actually a really lousy podcaster. Because what I do is every time anything comes up that could possibly go off topic, I grab hold of it and, like, pull as hard as I can on the sleeve of the host to go like, hey, can we talk about this for a little while? So I don't envy people who invite me onto their podcasts. It's kind of funny. 3 times in a row, and then I realized it. So sorry, Seth. I didn't mean to wreck your guys' vibe. I'm sorry, Canadian Slag. Didn't mean to.
No, I thought it was fine when you were on both shows. I mean, the thing that I found troublesome with that episode was there was a foreigner involved, and someone who doesn't even have a passport.
Well, that's true. I mean, like, the whole time I was sitting there, I was kind of chewing my knuckle, going like, you know, I thought this was Canadian Slag.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? Like, just change the name. Just call it North America Slag.
Oh, Floridian Slag.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
No, because then that disqualifies the regs.
It's an inside joke.
You're an inside,
inside.
Joke.
Inside.
I love you, Robimus. I love you.
So, busts. we got some really sad news this week. Diamond Select's upcoming and highly anticipated Sunstorm and Power Master Optimus Prime bust. You might remember Power Master Optimus Prime as the hero of Transformers Armada. Those busts have been canceled. So,
single rainbow.
In memoriam, Gog, how do you feel about the end of these busts?
Personally, I don't really care myself. I mean, it is kind of a bummer. Not as much for the Sunstorm, because all it was I believe it was a repaint of the one of the recent Diamond Select Starscream busts. So, I mean, technically, if you hire somebody, you could get them to you could buy one of those and get it repainted and still have that. But the as far as I know, the Power Master Prime one was an original mold, and there's plenty of Optimus Prime fans out there that probably would have gotten that. So it's a little strange they canceled it, but maybe they just figured it wasn't going to sell. But I mean, neither one of them were going to be anything I bought. I've got the couple of busts that I plan on getting, and they're not really on my radar. But it's a shame if you were looking for them. There's been a lot of that stuff canceled the last couple of years, like What was it? Like the first four figures had a bunch of Beast Wars statues and busts and stuff? I think it was first four figures, right?
Were they like, the guys who did the Rhinox one?
Well, yeah. Well, they had a Waspinator one that was canceled and a couple others.
Yeah.
They're the ones who did the Ultra Magnus statue for TFW, right?
Oh!
The F4F.
Yeah, but I know that there was a company that had a bunch of that stuff. They had about three, four, five various Transformer or statues and busts, and I think it was them. But if it wasn't, it was somebody of a similar vein. But they had a bunch of stuff canceled in the last couple of years, and then Diamond Select released their two Starscream busts. They had one just... It was a regular one, which they were going to repaint into Sunstorm, and then they had like a coronation one with a cape and all that stuff on Starscream in a different pose. And those came out in the end of 2008, I think.
Yeah. So I actually don't remember.
Yeah, I guess I remember because I got them in the early days of the podcast. So it was the last half of 2008, but it's kind of funny, I guess. Maybe those didn't sell, and so they just decided that it wasn't worth doing the production run.
When it comes to these busts, I always have to really it's a time when I have to really fight off the urge to go who is buying these, because I actually know people buy them. Not just in the case of you buying a Starscream one. I have talked to people who told me they actually really like the bust because they feel it's a kind of more legit Transformers collectible on a high end level, and I appreciate that, but at the same time, I always my knee jerk on this kind of thing is always oh wow, who was going to buy it? But I have learned that there are people who do buy them. Drew, were you going to buy either of these?
If anything, I was going to wait until Power Master Prime went on very cheap, 70% to 79% off at Big Bad Toy Store during their usual clearance, which they have many a bust and thing like that on sale right now. Site sponsor, by the way. But seriously, they have those on sale, and I mean, to be honest with you, at this point, if I didn't need it right away, if I waited a year and a half to get it, I think I would be fine at $25, because I like Power Master Prime. I thought it was a cool design, but in the end,
at the same time, right? That almost kind of explains the reason why it might have been canceled is a positive reaction is, oh, I would love to buy it when it's 70% off on clearance at Big Bad Toy Store.
That's, it had to be more than just me thinking that, so.
Yeah.
That probably factored in.
Seth, were you on the edge of your seat waiting for these busts to come out?
No, I probably wasn't even aware that they were in the works. Busts and statues are almost completely invisible to my perceptions. I'm so disinterested in statues and busts and things that don't move at all that it made it real easy to not get the Halo Legendary or
the mountain
the big super expensive package. Even though, like, everything else in that box is cool, like, the fact that it came with this big, dumb statue, just, no, no. So, a couple of busts, no. If you had asked me, hey, do you know about that Sunstorm bust coming out, I would have said, nah.
I just could have sworn we actually did a whole bit on the Power Master Prime one, because I really distinctly remember that the original solicit was all like, remember the hero of Armada?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And I just checked the solicit now, actually, on Entertainment Earth, and they changed it to remember the host of the original series, Power Master Prime, and his sidekick, the young boy named Tommy Kennedy. And I was like, it's still, like...
That's real? They changed it to that?
Yeah, it says... okay.
Oh, I thought you were doing a joke, and I was waiting for the punchline.
No, no, okay. I went to check it so I could, like, double-check the Armada thing, and, like, they changed it to be Power Master based on G1 that said, as seen in the Transformers host segments of the original series as well as the Marvel comic book, Power Master Optimus Prime fought galactic evils and told the story of his previous adventures to a young boy named Tommy Kennedy.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that very vividly, and for a long time thinking that I just made it up in my head, those little vignettes.
But, yeah.
They're real.
And it's also, like, again, you know, perhaps I hate to be negative about it, but a reason why it might not have done well is when that's one of the selling points of the bust. It's kind of like, it's a little doomed out of, like, you remember Tommy Kennedy? $70.
He's dead.
Yeah, and for the people who are into collecting that stuff, I mean, that's great. I don't mean to have my remarks disparage people who do like it. It's got nothing to do with me.
I feel bad for the folks, especially once I heard from people who said that they are excited about collecting, you know, Transformers busts, because I think that this is kind of proof that that era of extending Transformers out into the resin bust realm is, I think, well, it's kind of
what's kind of sad deal. Though is that these are some of the better ones. Like, if you look at the Hard Hero, they're kind of just like giant hunks of ceramic and not really all that detailed, and even the faces don't really capture the characters all that well, in my opinion. And these last few examples of the ones coming from Diamond Select have actually been some of the better Transformers busts, in my opinion. So
yeah,
it's kind of a shame that the good ones seem to be keep getting canceled, and then it's the bad ones that are mass produced. But,
well, I mean, you see this news too, and you think about the upcoming Sideshow replica Optimus Prime, whatever, the really expensive thing that has been on the front page now and then.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that thing is going to be released in probably such limited quantities and so expensive that they're going to recoup their costs on that pretty easily. But you said you felt kind of bad for the people that collect it, but I actually bought both versions of the Starscream bust, and if those would have been canceled, I probably would have been thankful, because then any hesitation I had on buying it, the choice would have been made for me, and I just would have shrugged my shoulders and said, "Oh well, I guess I'm not buying that after all." And so, if I was somebody who collected something out of obligation, then I probably would have been happy. But I'm sure there's people out there that legitimately wanted it, and for those of you out there, I am sorry.
Well, hopefully, you know, maybe they'll pull a Hard Hero Unicron or something, and find some outlet, convention or something like that, if they've already had some made, who knows. Moving away from the sad news of the canceled busts, let's pick out some new picks. Drew, you posted in the Skype chat that you are very dead set on picking something specific out here.
Yeah, it was something that was brought back to my attention this week on the old Twitter box. I don't remember who. Barricade64 was like, oh hey, was Shatterglass Rollbar's colors supposed to be not Shatterglass Rollbar, Shatterglass Hound's colors supposed to be based off R.I.D. Rollbar? And I was like, oh no, I don't even know what R.I.D. Rollbar looks like. And then I looked, and as it turns out, they do share pretty similar attributes. So what I did was went back into the old email, and I have, I think, just about every email that I've sent to FunPub or gotten back from FunPub the past 5 or 6 years now. And I have all these, like, different versions that I would send to Pete and be like, hey, what do you think? You know, and for this one, it was kind of one of those things where it was like, Pete came to me and was like, I know I want the arms to be, you know, gray and black and stuff, You know, let's work with that. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll do that. So kind of, you know, look around, see what I could do. I wanted to kind of maybe make it a combo of the unreleased G2 auto rollers, Hound and Optimus Prime, I guess. This is a year and a half ago at this point. Mm-hmm. So what I thinking back, I must have thought, well, the gray and black kind of looks the same as it just wouldn't be a fun thing if I made Hound the same color as his unreleased G2 version. The unreleased one is basically all white with a gray camouflage, I should say. And I said, well, why don't I combine the two? Maybe we'll see what happens. So I put the green from General Optimus Prime onto where we have a Shattered Glass Hound, and kind of went from there. So my original version was a very kind of inverted colors Hound to be Shattered Glass, but in a way you wouldn't expect, where his face is green and his roll bar thing there is green. So it's, I don't know. I liked it, and it was kind of something I had totally forgotten about until someone asked me about it on Twitter. So I figured I'd bring it up. Something cool, something that might have gone under the radar the other day. So I figured I'd bring it up.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's always good to be able to share some bits of trivia, because you have the connection point to be able to share that kind of info.
Yeah, and it's rare that they're just like, yeah, make something up. It's usually like very rigid. Like, we already defined it in the comics 3 months ago. Just copy it off that.
Yeah.
So it's rare that I get to just kind of make something up like this. And so yeah, I figure we can call that guy Shatterglass Detritus or whoever you want to make him.
whatever has been decided at this point by the mob.
Shatterglass gods.
Moving on, Gog, I believe you have something very specific you'd like to bring up.
I do, and I think I meant to bring this up the last time, and I completely forgot about it.
You did bring it up the last time, but then I remembered you didn't. Yeah.
I think we talked about it before, and then I was like, all right, yeah, I'll use that as my pick, and then I didn't. So I picked something random last time. I was just looking through the pictures. But TFW board member Kailash327, also known on Flickr as Rain Creations, did what everybody wants to do, but no one has taken the effort to do it until now. That I know of. Somebody's going to correct me. Oh, somebody did that 3 months ago, you idiot! And
Corey Burton!
But, yeah. What? Anyway. So he kitbashed a Cybertron mode animated Ratchet into an Auto Trooper. And it looks awesome because somebody recast a Kiss Play Auto Trooper head and sent it to him. And it was painted into accurate animated colors, which are a little different than the Kiss Play version. It's he's got blue visor and features as opposed to the Kiss Play, which has red. But looks pretty good. I mean, it's not perfect. That body doesn't perfectly match the animation model, but still pretty rad. I spent several minutes this week looking into ways how easy it is to recast parts, and decided that I'm not sure if I want to do it because it looks like a pain in the butt. But I have an Auto Trooper, and I would darn sure like to make a copy of that head, but because it fits really well on there. The animated version of the Auto Trooper head doesn't differentiate that much from the actual the Kiss Play Alternators Binaltech version of the Mazda that was released back in 2006, I think. But
yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, I like it. I mean, maybe the only thing that I would have done maybe differently is paint the windows black instead of leaving them the clear blue. But you know, other than that, He did a really good job, and I'd like to know how I can make one of these heads or get one or something. But yeah, he's cool. He even posted a because the Auto Trooper has a special Autobot logo in animated in the couple of episodes that they appeared. That it's just an Autobot logo, but it's kind of surrounded by stuff that makes it look like a police badge or military insignia that's different from the guard,
elite guard,
Elite Guard, yeah. So the Elite Guard has wings, and this has more of like chevrons under it, like a military patch or something. But and he even posted a printable version. So if you wanted to make your own little custom decal and glue it or affix it to the body, I think this is still a work in progress. He's got most of it done, and I think he still plans on doing that insignia. But yeah, looks good, and I really, really want one. And every time I go to Toys R Us, I see about 15 animated Ratchets still on the shelf, and I'm like, man, if I could get a couple of those heads, I would take the time to put those things to good use. And
I've been in that position, seeing like three or four of them on the shelf at Toys R Us, going like, man, like if I knew how to like quickly repaint or at least even just retempo a bunch of that stuff and then like slap a head on, like I would do it. It was really funny, by the way, just a second ago when you were trying to remember if it was Elite Guard, I had a funny brain process there where I was like, I actually thought immediately, Elite Guard. And then I thought, nah, we would have remembered Elite Guard. It must be something else. And I thought about it a little bit longer. I was like, oh, no, wait, it really is Elite Guard.
Isn't it funny when one person has a brain it seems like everyone else around them has the same brain at the same time? It's like they're contagious, like a yawn. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
Don't brain in a room. Something awful will happen. Seth, what is your chosen picture?
I was looking at this picture of the Head Robots Hot Head upgrade set.
Ooh.
Which, you know, who doesn't love Headmasters? And this will turn your Hot Head into a Headmaster, or turn him into Hard Head. And
Hot Hard Head.
Yeah, I don't have that mold in those colors. I only have the repainted Botcon one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and then these are pre-production images, so maybe, you know, colors will be a little different. But if, like, the final version, if the colors kind of go well with that Botcon version, you know, maybe I'll get one anyway.
Well, it's Head Robots. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're already thinking of ways that they could recolor this for other versions of the mold. Like the Cobra Head, they went all out with that thing. Like,
yeah, and even if like it's predominantly white, like even if they just did a black version, that would probably fit pretty good. But it's neat. Like you also get like the shoulder cannon kind of a thing, and a couple of rifles, and so it's just it looks pretty cool. I mean, I really like a lot of this third-party stuff, even though I don't really buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've bought a lot more recently than I have in the past, like third-party kind of add-on kits and whatnot. Like I haven't dropped the big money for much in the way of like the full-blown figures. I think Nightmare for Commander is the only thing like that I've ever gotten. Mm-hmm. But just, I mean, seeing like some of these creative concepts and then seeing it being executed in pretty good ways, it's just cool that it's even happening. So
yeah, I was looking at that set of photos actually as a potential new pick because I really like what Head Robots is doing, and I think this could be like the breakout release they do that transcends the Cobra Head, because this is way more applicable and shows a lot more engineering going on. I'm looking forward to it. I actually have this green version of Onslaught, the Hard Head Universe release, thanks to King Lapho a whiles back. And so I am prepped and ready to grab this thing whenever it comes out.
I'll just wait and see if they do a more color matchy kind of one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it looks good, and if I had that mold in that color scheme, it would probably be high on my list of things to get.
Hell yeah. My own pick is going to be the one that's above that on the front page then, which is another third-party thing, another new company. It's a resin cast of their potential first release, but it looks pretty cool. This is the company Corbot 5. They are making a big spooky war axe for Cybertron Optimus Prime.
Spooky.
Yeah, look at that thing. It's good. It's all crackly and spooky looking. It's a resin cast, so it's a test prototype. They say they wish to produce the real version in high quality ABS plastic. And it reminds me again that we live in a day and age where garage companies are no longer relying on resin, which is amazing.
Or garages,
in fact, yes. And it's a very, very logical accessory to make. I'd say it's a great way to get into the scene because it's, you know, conceptually it's easy. It's make a big axe for the video game Prime. Go. And it looks like a success. I guess the real question will be, can they produce it to this level of quality? Can they replicate the apparent paint apps on the blade? And can they keep it closer to what fans have become used to in terms of affordability with third-party things. I mean, if it ends up costing a huge amount of money, personally, I will objectively see where they're coming from. I might not get it then, but I'll understand why. But if they can get the cost down, that will win over a whole lot of people who are not quite as ready to get, you know, educated about the nature of third-party things. And I think being able to capture that audience is the way to go right now. I mean, that is how Fans Project has gotten such a claim. That's like, you know, they're putting out a $10 Target Master for Protector that will win over people who don't care how the third party thing works because it's $10.
I really want to get that.
Yeah, that thing.
I'm not sure if I want to get the full on upgrade kit thing. What are they calling this? Like, Fancy Commander, Pants Commander, Fire Commander, whatever. Crazy name they have for the hot rod.
The Protector?
Protector Commander.
Fire Pants Commander. That's pretty good, too.
I mean, that's another set that's really cool. I just don't know if I want to get it or not, but like seeing that the Target Master was only $10, I'm like, yeah, I'll just drop $10, get that Target Master. It's cool. It's a cool Target Master. So,
yeah, and it's very smart. It's very smart move on their part. So that is like, you know, objectively and staying away from, you know, all the quotes here and there about Fans Project having access to very high quality facilities on a business scale, being able to get your costs down as a third party group, however it is you can do it, will get you a lot more attention. I guess a little unfortunately, because it is an outright impossibility for some business setups that don't have factories, for instance, but it's a cool thing, and I hope to see it received well. Hopefully it won't be crippled by too many QC problems. On the bright side, it is just an axe, so there aren't as many avenues for things to go wrong as, you know, for instance, with the Nightmorpher Commander and its various different points of construction weakness that are present in the final product. Those are the new picks. I actually wanted to take a moment to add in a new pick. Some of you who have been listening for a while will know that we have, you know, a bit of a buddy thing going on with a podcast out of Australia. Gog, do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, Cool Shite.
Yes. We've all been talking to mostly Q Dog from there for a while, and
Q Dog.
Q Dog is a cool dude, but he sent me an email, and I thought I'd take a moment to mention it on here, only because the dude's been supporting our podcast for so long. I wanted to mention a project he's working on. I hope you guys don't mind, but he's working on a thing called the Periodic Table of Awesome. It's a TV pilot that he and another dude from that podcast are working on, and I thought it would be fair to mention that they're working on a pilot. They're funding it entirely through donations with, you know, perks for various levels of donation, which include autographed things from big names in the comic industry, because those dudes kind of have connections. And the most relevant thing to say is that, you know, Q-Dog is a big Transformers fan, and he was saying, you know, it would be kind of cool to have some kind of Transformers thing in there, like have an element of awesome called Transformium or something like that, TF, on the periodic table. So I'm going to probably make a bigger spiel about this over on YouTube, where I don't, you know, pull everything off the rails, but if you want to know more about it, you know, look up the Cool Shite dudes and look up their website. They're probably talking about it a whole lot over on their site. And it could be, if this can launch, it could be a pretty neat way to get some more, you know, more fandom-y side of Transformers coverage out there. You know, maybe not on like national TV, but anything, you know, produced on the level that they tend to produce stuff would be pretty cool. So I wanted to throw it out there. Also, because, you know, much less than three for Q-Dog. Anyway.
I like Q-Dog because he likes Doctor Who and doesn't make a big stink about how ridiculous it can be.
Can Doctor Who be ridiculous?
It can be. Oh, it can be.
Oh, dear. On the record. Anyway.
In good ways. Awesome ways.
This seems like a good place for an intermission, and I believe that we had a musical suggestion for this week's intermission. We're back, and I have tied a lot of people to train tracks, but I don't think anyone's ever recognized my achievements in that field, and sometimes that makes it hard for me to sleep at night.
That's too bad.
I know. I love the way that they react when the train hits them, though. They get very distressed. We're going to talk about what we got. We're going to talk about what we got this week. Acquisitions, if you will. Drew, did you get anything this last week? Or two.
I pre-ordered Protector.
So did I.
So does that count as getting something? I mean,
well,
I
did you get your Japanese Rodimus? Because you hadn't received that last time.
No, it's at the post office.
Damn. Oh. Spoiler for episode 115.
Oh.
Cool. Like, did you pre-order it at Big Bad?
I did, so that way if I don't want it, I can still take it off. It's actually the first third-party item, I think, that I'm ever going to get, if I get it. Although I've been slightly involved with, remember those Spike and Spark Plug ones that came out years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Did the colors for their, like, art. So I was only slightly involved, and I have those, but I've never actually gone out and bought one.
Are you, you going to go for the Target Master as well?
People basically just feel it's $10, why not? But, I mean, if I don't get Protector, I'm not going to get the other guy. So, I think I can add him on right at the end. I just have to keep making my mind. So, but I want to get the pre-order in before the pre-order sells out.
That's kind of what I did with, because Big Bad is one of the places where it's easier to kind of go like, all right, stick my foot in the door and then, like, think about it afterwards. Like, I also wanted to get in on the Shadow Scyther, so I did that. But it's not quite as easy to take that back at TF Source, but I'll just deal with it when it comes out. I hope your animated Rodimus gets there in one piece, the Japanese one. Hope the post office isn't messing with your package.
Oh,
that would be uncool. Good night, everybody.
Kind of turned into an Andrew Dice Clay routine there. I hope they're not messing with your package. Oh!
It was just the silence afterwards. He goes, ho! And then it's quiet. Like, everybody's like, what are you hoeing for, Drew? Oh.
They classic. Know.
So with mirth comes levity and laughter. Gog, what did you get this week?
Oh,
get a package?
Oh, man. I was hoping to get some more stuff.
I just got to throw in. How is it that we fall into the point of like package? Kind of sounds like package, as in.
It wasn't funny until Drew said, "Oh, And it was just so deadpan. Okay, anyway, let's not pat ourselves on the back too much. It was a good moment. Let's not wear it out.
I'll do it by myself over here.
No, I do have some stuff on the way that I was sad hadn't gotten here yet, but I have War for Cybertron, Megs, and Soundwave, and Dark Mount all coming, but they have not been here or arrived yet, so spoiler again for 115. But I did.
Why is anyone going to want to listen to it now? We're spoiling everything on 115.
Because there's no meat to it. This is just the silhouette.
Oh.
So the silhouette of meat. God. Never mind.
That sounds good.
I love steak.
I could go for some silhouette of meat right now.
Yeah. Man, somebody take that clip out and use it somewhere. Anyway, but I did get. I know Seth saw it on Twitter, but I don't know if anybody else saw it. But I did get myself a G1 landmine in the mail.
I saw that.
So I bought it with one intention and one intention only, because I've been wanting to do this for a while. But I want to turn him into a lander, because even in the Japanese version, he was released as Lander. He still came with his weird little doofy face popping up out of that suit. And never didn't look like he did in the show, because in the show he's this kind of city-dwelling ladies' man with the blonde hair and the kind of purplish shades. And in the toy, he just has that weird brown head that pops up. But I need to find a pair of glasses, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to end up making my own. But I might, even if it's a little wireframe and even looks halfway decent, it'll still be worth it. But yeah,
there's something really actually hilarious to me when I saw that picture the first time of, like, it's something about the glasses and the fact that his head is still lodged down into that huge brick of the armor.
Well, that's accurate, because let me find a picture of him. Because
he's all like, I know that I look pretty silly in this armor, but I just want to let you know I'm still pretty stylish. Like, you know.
Like look at this picture right here. It's legitimate, but
oh dear.
Yeah, some I mean the little digibash I did quickly was, you know, just as a proof of concept. But it was funny, because TFW moderator Dinobot Nuva, he responded, he's like, a thought occurred. If there was ever a Henkei lander, his hair would be chromed. And I was like, oh man, you're right.
So are you gonna learn how to chrome plastic just so you can chrome the hair?
No, I don't actually want that, but it would be hilarious if they released it, and I would buy one. But no, I have pretenders, I just don't have any of the lanky ones. Actually, I think the only pretender I have is Starscream. And Starscream's kind of he's the stubby versions of the pretenders, like, you know, like Bludgeon. They're the little stubby bots, but Landmine is one of the lanky ones, which were I think that was the Wave 1, right? Those were the Wave 1? Yeah, the first ones that appeared in Master Force, because the ones that came later were all kind of short and stubby, but and weren't actually in the show. But I like the robot mode. It almost reminds me of a kind of a taller, skinnier Action Master. And I dig it. It could use a little more, you know, modern posability, but, you know, it's a G1 toy, and you can't fault it for, you can't hold, you know, compare it to what came 20 years later. But man, the vehicle mode is doofy.
I mean, always kind of love those vehicle modes, though, because there's something, like, you know how people will say, like, the 80s Transformers, you know, G1's the most retro. I actually think, like, if you really want to see retro, look at one of the lanky pretenders, because that's like, that's retro.
But some do it better than others. Yeah. And with Landmine, he could have been just a little better if the legs had folded down a little more, because he's got a cockpit, but the legs are way above the cockpit on either side, so the cockpit is down, serving no purpose, because it can't see anything. It's like it's in blinders. It can only see straight ahead, and it's just kind of strange. And it looks a lot better in the animation model. And if you look at, if you ever watch Master Force and see Lander in his vehicle mode, it actually looks pretty cool. It's way cooler than the toy ever did. But in the robot mode, though, I really like it. But his face is all yellow, and in the animation model, he has a blue visor, so I might end up painting that too. I've never really been a huge customizer or anything, but these are pretty simple things, and I really like the Lander character, so I'm probably going to try to try to accomplish those tasks as best I can.
Well, this could be the start of a pretty lucrative career in customizing. You know, you start off simple, and next thing you know, you'll be a powerhouse. Seth, what'd you get this week?
I got a bunch of stuff.
Oh, man.
Crazy stuff. So, my Xbox died. I got one red light and an error code. So, that was still covered by the extended three ring or red ring warranty kind of deal. So, that's going to get fixed for free. But there's no way I'm going to wait around like this happening just a couple days before Halo Reach comes out.
What's Halo Reach?
It's a video game.
Oh.
About
back scratchers.
No, there's a bunch of stuff on a top shelf.
Oh, I'm so itchy. No,
a cookie Reach, jar?
Not it.
Is there a cookie jar up there?
Well, there's different levels. The first level is in a kitchen, and the cookie jar is one of the things. And there's also other cooking ingredients and tools and stuff. And it's one of the early Kinect games.
Is there
have to hold your hands up over your head? I actually got a Kinect camera early, so you're reaching up and you're trying to reach things.
Is there a Kojima level where you're actually inside the cookie jar that you're reaching for the whole time?
No, but you're an angel. That's where the Halo part comes in.
Oh, so, man, is that like Legion?
No, you're like a guardian angel. Like you're helping the little old Japanese couple because it's from Japan. It's a Konami game. So,
sweet.
They're like that stereotypical anime old Asian, where they're super tiny, and so they can't reach anything, and you're their angel. So it's the Halo Reach.
I love ActRaiser.
Right, and once I had this early, I found a Kinect camera set up lying around, so I had to get the new Xbox 360, the smaller, quieter one. So that was expensive. And then when my broken one comes back, I'm going to sell that. I'm going to find some sucker to pawn it off on and get some of my money back. I got Bucky Balls from Woot. Those little magnet ball things that you can play with. Those are crazy. You never heard of Bucky Balls?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, those are the ones that you put in your hand and they go clink, 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 clink.
No. They're like... like little metal BBs, but they're rare earth magnets, so they stick together really hard, and you could make little sculptures and stuff.
Oh, I know those, yeah.
Yeah. And then I got that Legends Ravage.
Oh.
Tiny Ravage.
I like that Ravage.
Yeah, he's kind of neat for a little dinky guy.
I like his nose cone.
Yeah. Where did that come from? But it's good.
I just like that they're like, all right, you know, we can't fit the already tenuous deluxe Ravage in here. What can we do to make this look a little bit better? Give him a needle nose. It's like, all right, sweet. Like, I kind of wish now the deluxe one had the needle nose.
Well, I just like how there's no continuity between Ravage's alt modes.
Yeah.
So it's just like, he didn't turn into anything in the movie, so he could turn into anything or whatever. Like, they're going to do a leader class movie Ravage and just don't even get started on what he turns into. It's going to be bananas.
Literally.
Let's see. I'm looking around because I know there was more stuff. It's off topic stuff. I got another Boba Fett because I don't know why I need so many Boba Fetts, but there was a new Boba Fett. So I got that. And then today, they just came today. So my choice was to play a little bit of Halo Reach before we started recording, or try to tear all these packages open real fast and then not actually have had time to transform them and whatnot. So they're just still in the package right now. So I got that whole wave with a War for Cybertron Soundwave, Megatron, Dark Mount, and Red Alert.
I really missed a memo on those suddenly coming out for everybody. Like,
well, they showed up on Toys R Us online.
Oh, okay.
And so the Soundwave sold out within about, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, and I was lucky to have one. But
I was wondering how everyone kept getting them, because I saw a lot of people suddenly getting that wave, and I was like, when did that come out?
Well, that's how I got it. I got it, at least. But I know most places they still haven't shown up. Just the Megatron is starting to show up en masse pretty much everywhere, along with Dark Mount, but the Soundwave and Red Alert is still really rare at retail.
Okay.
Yeah, I had pre-ordered these on Big Bad Toy Store. Too bad we don't actually get a cut of that sponsorship, because we've been talking about them so much this episode.
Well, I mean, granted, at one point we said we like Big Bad Toy Store because it's really easy to cancel pre-orders there, so that's like a little bit more gray zone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting Dark Mount open. I really like his head sculpt. It reminds me of something, like, not just what it's sculpted to resemble, but, like, it... I don't know what, but just that whole shape kind of reminds me of something un-Transformers related.
It's kind of like a hood, or kind of like a snaky hood kind of deal.
It kind of like... kind of like an executioner's hood kind of thing. That's pretty rad. And it... I don't know, maybe it's just how the picture is, but it almost looks like... it is a hood with, like, no face behind it kind of a thing, and that'd be cool. He's, like, where the hood would, like, come below the eyes and then kind of split over the nose and have the mouth exposed. It almost looks like that shape with no face.
Yeah, Strax, he's like, just, like,
down in there.
He's all the menacing bits and then all the non-menacing parts, like, he just had removed.
Yeah, like, he's, like, spectral executioner, like, the hood with no... head kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Anything else relevant?
I was waiting for that.
Oh gosh, I forgot.
I remembered. Buddy.
So I finally got Phone Braver. With an apology, a handwritten apology by the Emperor of Japan himself for the delay.
Nice.
So I thought that was nice. I mean, he's just a figurehead. It probably would have been more meaningful if the Prime Minister had written the note, but, you know, I guess the Emperor's got to do something with his day.
So how do you guys like them?
I have to fight the urge to get the Soul of Jojoken version.
Yeah, welcome. I feel the exact world. Same way. I feel the exact same way. Yeah.
Well, if I can just drop a name, T-Former on TFW, he and I were like the Phone Braver guys back in like 07 or 08, whenever the line was coming out. And like, he's the only one I know of who actually got the Jojoken Phone Braver, and like, he posted at length in... I guess now a long dead thread in Toy Arc. We had a thread going. You should look for it. We had a thread going for Phone Bravers, and he has it. He has everything Phone Braver. Like, he beat me at that. I gave up after I finished the main line.
Yeah. Well, did you get any boost phones, Seth?
No. Like, the only one that I'm really interested in is the one you got, and
yeah,
everywhere I've looked for it has been sold out.
I've
looked in a lot of places. I looked.
Yeah, I was kind of sad because I found a store that was selling them for a decent price. It was like, I don't know, $15 or something before shipping. And I was like, oh, I'll just send him the link that I had. And I went back and they were all sold out. I was kind of bummed. But
I'll live.
Yeah, but yeah, I got the Seeker boost phone as well, and it's pretty neat because he puts on like this big like monocle eyepiece and guns on either arm and a little armor on the legs, kind of like a G1 Jetfire or a Macross Valkyrie. But yeah, they're neat. I do want that Jogokin. Maybe yeah. I'll splurge a little bit because this month, I don't know if it'll be here before 115, but I also have a pre-order for the new Macross Koenig Monster.
The Bandai,
dear. Oh, man.
Yeah, and it's gonna cost me like $2, and I've been saving for it in preparation for months. But so I'm gonna have that coming. But the Jogokin, I think it's on the Jogokin Phone Braver is on sale still on HLJ, unless they've sold out. It's only like $50.
I think it's still on sale there. Yeah,
I
was staring at it the other day.
I may splurge and get it this next week. I'm not sure yet.
If you do, let me know how it is. I'm sorely tempted by it because I'm a huge fan of the TV show those things were from. And like that line was just it was so neat because that line, as far as I know, it was just like zero publicity outside of the TV show. And like I had to go to these weird ass like Japanese wholesaler online stores to order some of those toys back when they came out. Like that was like an adventure I was having the whole time where I was like, oh man, like I wonder if I'm even going to get these. And I get these like mysterious Phone Braver toys that me and a dude in Europe called T-Former were into. And like we were the only two people who liked them back then. It was so crazy.
Did you watch any of the show, Seth?
I looked at a few clips on YouTube, but like I haven't watched an episode just
I made
some clips in the past and I didn't understand at all what was going on. I just think the robot mode looks really cool.
Yeah. So I made it about halfway through and got distracted. I still want to go through and finish it. I've enjoyed what I've seen. It's kind of goofy and with some kind of epic serious moments sprinkled in for good measure.
It's a cool series. It's actually a series by one of my favorite directors, Takashi Miike. And it turns out the thing won children's show awards in Japan, which I was like, wow, like apparently I have good taste.
apparently my taste is in
the prestigious Japanese children's television award validated my opinion.
Did you get anything else?
My cognac. I think that was about it.
No, I was like when say,
when you didn't mention Phone Braver, I was like, oh, he forgot. That's kind of awesome. I'm gonna do it last.
And yeah,
just like boom.
Well, I've been putting it off for three episodes, waiting for you, kind of forgot.
And I've been kind of like, I've been sitting here just waiting. I wanted to hear it, like, you know, I wanted to hear about it from people who are picking it up new, because, like, the, you know, I want to know what people nowadays would think of it, getting it in hand. So.
Yeah. But, I dig it a lot, and that Shogokin is a thing of beauty, mostly because of the poseable hands, because it has the hacking pose.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sad that the DX version didn't do that, because it was just kind of like closed fist molded plastic, and I was like, oh, it doesn't have like flip out hands or anything, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to get the Shogokin now, because I want to do that. But
yeah, I mean, I really like the robot mode, and the robot mode is better on the Shogokin.
Yeah, and it's still decent on the DX. It just they definitely upped it though with the Shogokin version.
Like all this, the lights and the sounds and the faces are neat on the version that we got. Sometimes he makes sound when I wish it wouldn't, but there's no real off switch on.
No, you have to put him in phone mode, then slide the shoulder block out, then back in, and that'll make him stop getting pretend emails.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. But at first, it was like, before you had told me that, I was like, oh, dude, I'm going to have to take some batteries out.
I have a funny story about when I got my first one was 7. I got them from HLJ, and there was actually something wrong with them where there was a screw
there was
a screw that was misaligned, and he actually couldn't enter the robot mode electronics. And I emailed HLJ about it. We had a big back and forth trying to figure out exactly what the hell was going on. And then I like messed with the screws and like just loosening this one screw in the back, like unleashed like the spring or whatever that was holding back the robot mode electronics. And I sent them a lengthy email explaining the whole process. And they're like, all right, we'll just, we'll take that into account if we ever hear about this problem again. And I'm sure they never did, but. Also, just for Transformers context, back when these toys came out and how I discovered them was that the very first toy show where they were shown off, people went like, in Toy Arc, it was like a thread called, oh my god, transforming cell phones, what? And like, everyone came in going like, oh man, like, and I think the live action movie had been out by the time the show was going on. People were like, oh man, like, I wonder if those are like gonna ever show up in like the second live action movie, like, you know, or is it ripping off real gear or something like that. It was kind of funny, that thread. This is years ago now. But.
Yeah, there's another... was it Phone Braver Next, is it called?
Yeah, that's...
That toy, and it's not nearly as appealing.
I haven't watched that series, but I was really hoping it would be a sequel, and it turns out it's like, just takes place during the TV show, so I got less interested in watching it.
It's not... I thought you were going to say it's like that thing that can tend to happen with Japanese series where one season has absolutely nothing to do the previous season, like all the different... versions of like Tenchi.
No, it's
how Tenchi Universe has nothing to do with Tenchi Mario.
Next is like some other company's cell phone or something, or he's like a space cell phone. I can't remember. Cell phones in space.
He's the AT&T exclusive.
Can't use him in Canada. There's no unlimited data up here. He just shuts down. That's cool. I'm really glad you guys got a hold of those because I love that toy line. I got the whole original toy line of that, the DX stuff. I just got a couple things this week. Number one, I got from TFW board member Optimus Scourge, Human Alliance Jazz, and I want to tell Gog that you're completely right. That I believe it was you who. I mean, maybe I'm about to shoot myself in the foot because you weren't the one talking about him. But
the face.
The face is terrifying.
Yeah,
I love the gimmick. It's an amazing gimmick.
It works silky smooth, but you're like, you have to put it back ultra fast because you do not want to look at that face.
Yeah, it's just like there's no gain from it is the problem. So it's like, man, this is amazing. If only the face was worth unveiling. But it is like the best Human Alliance toy out thus far because it actually does some of my favorite type of things in Transformers engineering, which is it breaks physics, which is best illustrated in the forearms where they're the doors with the window. So the door plus the windshield like curls up into a forearm with a four-fingered claw hand. Very simple in how it does it. Very simple execution, but very, very well thought out. And it's that and the way that you can rotate the nipples slightly to make the chest look more curved than it should be. You got a phone call, by the way. Who called you?
Phone Braver.
Oh, I love Phone Braver. He's a very, very cool Human Alliance toy. Although my tiny Josh DeHamel, his head sculpt, and the paint on it is awful. Like his eyes are two little sunken black pits. It's really creepy. But Human Alliance Jazz is wonderful. Anyone out there who does not have one, regardless of if you have any enthusiasm in Transformers engineering, seek out Human Alliance Jazz. He is an excellent example of what can be done nowadays. Like, if I were to like raise any qualms on him objectively, it would be I wish he had a waist joint. That's really about it. And I can kind of see why he doesn't, because if you look at him from the side, there's huge slabs of plastic which are locking together in a way that would prevent an easily added waist joint. So, marvelous toy. Also, I met up with Cybertron.ca board member Richter, who's a fellow BC Transformers fan, who organized a really wonderful group buy on those knockoff Belmont headmasters. Who?
Richter Belmont?
Yes, Richter Belmont from Castlevania fame. We got together and talked about...
Did he whip you?
Yes. And he threw an axe at me, and I exploded into a heart.
You pour holy water on him?
No, because he's like, holy water's for scrubs.
Oh.
Doesn't use holy
water.
Did
an item crash?
No, but...
Did he do the thing where he paused and unpaused a bunch of times really quick, so the axe did more hits than it's supposed to?
Well, basically, when he had to head back to Vancouver, what he did is he went over to like a corner of a building, and he kind of just ducked down under a staircase for about a minute and a half, and then a tornado just came out of nowhere and carried him off. It was amazing.
Oh, man.
Did he reach into his pocket and pull out the rib of Vlad?
He did not have the rib of Vlad today. I'm sorry. Or on that day. Today he may have it. But he organized a wonderful group buy on the knockoff Headmaster box set with all the rare Japanese ones. And I got in on that. And he was in town, so he was like, want me to bring it by? I was like, okay. So I went and met up with him. Wonderfully nice guy. Because he said the box was damaged in shipping, so I got you a spare box. And he got me a spare, like, unassembled box for the thing. And so I looked and like, you know, he said damaged in shipping, like the back was pushed in slightly. Like that was it. So, you know, Richter is an amazing dude in terms of these group buys. He's organizing a few more for the BC fans. I think he's currently organizing one for iGear's miniature Masterpiece Prime. And he's in talks with them where he's not only organizing the group buy, he's also kind of questioning them at length to make sure that the toy is actually going to be an updated version. He's asking them specifically, what do you mean by version 2? And he's just a really good presence in the BC Transformers community. I've always kind of been a little bit jaded about my province's fans, but nowadays there's a lot more of them who I feel are like kind of like almost a really positive community presence. Like off the top of my head, Richter and Vengsta are two really great dudes out of this province. And these headmasters are really nice. Well worth the money, in my opinion, because, you know, I paid $82 shipped for it, and that's a lot better than $100 shipped. And I really love Shuffler. Shuffler is the elephant who turns into a head, and he transforms in a really cool and unique way, and I've been considering whether or not I should start lobbying for modern Shuffler toys.
You probably should. I mean, why not? What's it gonna hurt?
Elephants are pretty cool. Well, people who don't like elephants might come after me.
Like poachers?
Yeah, they're gonna be like, we don't want you inserting more
talks.
Don't put more positive imagery on our prey, because we have enough trouble with the ivory trade. So it's really worth it. If you have a chance to get a hold of this set for under $100, just do it. Because you're getting a lot of head in this box. It's a box full of head. Full of multicolored knockoff Asian head. Three of which are animals, and it's a good time. So, just wanted to throw that out there. That's all of us, isn't it? Wow. I was like, all right, who's next? Oh, not me. I'll tell you what's next. Listener questions. We have a listener question from Opticron Primal. And Seth's desk just exploded.
No, I just... I have that box.
Opticron Primal flips the table over.
What? I gotta do some laundry. No, that box that all those Transformers I got in the mail was at my feet, and when I went to sit up, I kicked it by accident.
Oh, it's all right.
I forgot it was down there.
Opticron Primal says, quote, "Greetings and konnichiwa." WTF at TFW Podcastians. Very good romanization, though I would suggest konnichiwa when romanized would actually have two N's in the front. But I don't want to be nitpicky or, you know, weeaboo about it. He goes on to say, "Long-time listener, first-time caller, poster, questioner, and all that jazz. Here's my question, colon. Well, pretty much every iteration of Transformers, sans Beast Wars and Beast Machines, have used the same type of theme song, which is usually a variation of the Generation 1 theme. Japan likes to mix things up every series by creating new openings and endings with new music and usually some pretty kick-ass animation. I want to know what each member's favorite opening and or ending is, be it from Car Robots, Galaxy Force, Superlink, Transformers Animated, etc. Thanks for your time and keep up the awesome job. Zozo, Opticron Primal." So I just want to throw out at the beginning, I'm assuming he means favorite opening and or ending from Japanese series, given that he specified Animated and the Jam Project deal there. So let's kick things off with Drew!
So, you know, taking a look at everything here, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, right? Am I reading the question wrong? I'm confused.
What's your favorite Japanese Transformer song, basically?
Oh, I thought he wanted us listening to it. I thought he wanted us to rewrite a Japanese Transformer song. And I was like, I don't know.
You can do that if you want. I don't think anybody's going to stop you.
I won't get mad if you've done it and are about to present it.
No.
Okay.
And I guess the Japanese outro for X-Men the Animated Series doesn't count. Howl at the Moon? That's not an option?
You can include that if you want, I think, because I would put that really high on my list.
I'm going to have to, because I can't even think of what these other ones sound like right now. Apologies. Konnichiwa. No, what is his name? Opticron Primal.
What's his name? Hey there, sorry. Mr. Konnichiwa. Gog, I believe you have a very relevant answer for the question.
Yeah, if we're talking straight Japan, definitely the victory themes. I like the opening theme a lot, though I do really like the Animated O opening as well. So I think that they might be tied, because that is actually really a badass opening to a show. specifically one as cartoony as animated. But also, as far as ending themes go, far and away the victory theme, Cybertron Banzai, which you also heard as the intermission for this episode, if you are wondering what the hell you were listening to during that period, which is amazing. It probably loses most of its charm hearing it in Japanese. If you aren't aware of what the lyrics say, I would really recommend, and I'll post a link in the thread to a subtitled version, because hearing the singer of the song ask Star Saber if he wet the bed as a child.
Don't spoil it.
And, well, it just, you have to mention the fact that he just irritatingly shakes his head no to answer the question. And it's quite brilliant, in my opinion.
But, I actually, when you say that, I was about to say, who doesn't know the funny lyrics from that song? And then I realized we've had a lot of years of fans building up. So it is time for the newer members of the fandom to learn the victory ending theme and what it means. Like, that should be common knowledge. So let's disseminate that, ladies and gentlemen. Tell your friends. Or not. I don't know. Is it supposed to be our little secret?
Could be.
I guess. Good music, though. I like the animatics for that. Fondly remembering in high school when I found out what that song meant. Seth, what is your answer to the question?
I don't really know the Japanese series much at all, so I'm just going to go with animated, or whatever, just because that's the only one I have any sort of familiarity with, and only because homeboy Derek J. Wyatt was just geeking the hell out over it, so it was impossible.
He loved it.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it was good. Like, it's always kind of crazy when, like, an American show, like Drew brought up X-Men, goes over to Japan and they make their own intro for it. That's, like, way more awesome than the show actually is. And it's like, man, I want to watch that show.
It's worth mentioning. I think the question's come up before of
and
why...
It's kind of messed up because it sounds like I just said that the Japanese version of animated would have been way more awesome, but that's not what I meant. I meant that about the X-Men.
You love the Autobotto family.
Anything about
the questions come up before as to why Japan gets those kind of, you know, just insanely cool openings. It's because an opening theme in Japan typically is crafted to be saleable as a CD single, so that's why they, you know, over here it's a jingle for a TV show most of the time, and a lot of effort is put into it. But over in Japan, it's like, all right, craft something that we can like market and sell a 3-track single of with a karaoke version and a soft jazz version, for instance. So that would be why. I love soft jazz when it's about Transformers. My own answer. Now, I'm very torn because in my teenage years, I was really into a lot of the classic themes, like Headmasters, Victory, Car Robots, which was new at the time. But I got actually, this is not really so much an answer as I just want to highlight these two as often unsung legends in Japanese Transformers themes. They have something very much in common, Master Force and Beast Wars Neo. They're kind of known to me to a degree because they're often a song where someone will listen to the first couple minutes, or not even couple minutes, the first couple seconds, and then go, "What is this?" Gog, you've been watching Master Force.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
it's it's not just the opening few seconds. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of like, yeah, you do have the opening moments of Hawk, Metal Hawk in his human form, just running windswept towards the camera as it pans around it, and it's a little strange. But then, you know, at the end, you have like this ensemble of the Autobots. And then they all kind of fly up above the camera and then just land back down in front of the camera. And you have the kids kind of with their hands up in the air and it's playing this kind of happy music. And it's like, okay. I mean, it's not bad. And I like Master Force. I make fun of Master Force a lot for the people who harshly defend it against the other series, especially Victory, because I prefer Victory and I'm going to take pot shots at Master Force. But I enjoy Master Force. Don't get me wrong. I like it. It's a good show. It definitely brings up a lot of questions. Whatever, that's a whole other topic. Maybe we'll get into that.
But the theme song is a very notably goofy one.
It doesn't get me excited because, like, when I was watching Victory, I would let a lot of times I would let the opening music play all the way through because it got me pumped up, ready to watch another episode. And it's, you know, especially at the end when you have Jan or John, however you pronounce it.
John.
You know, he's at the end, or Jean. I've seen it romanized many different ways. But you have him standing there and you have these giant robots just going, just landing all around him, and they just, it just looks awesome. And then you have Victory, and it's like, or Master Force, like, sounds like a love ballad at the beginning, and it just, it doesn't get me pumped up to watch the watch the show as much as Victory did.
I'm actually glad about your preamble about it there, because I was going to go on to say Beast Wars Neo opens similarly to Master Force with the amazing lyric "Love is here," followed by what I think it's like "Where is love?" And it's all like "Love is here." It's really, really, really soft and like. It's like Master Force cranked up to an even sillier level, but then it goes into a really awesome electric guitar riff as the opening titles play. Both of those songs are funny just because the opening couple seconds of each one is like, you'd listen to it, and if you weren't a fan, you'd go like, oh, funny, what's that? And someone would say, it's a Transformers theme. You'd go like, no, it isn't. Stop lying. No, it isn't. You think it is. You're like, you're just making fun of me because I don't understand the moon speak. No, it can't be. So those are my answers. And if you haven't heard either of those themes, please go look them up, especially Beast Wars Neo, because I always kind of like the Beast Wars Neo theme, even though it opens really weird. It's got a good guitar riff in it for the time. So I hope that answered your question to some degree. Almost said Optimal Prychron. That would have been embarrassing.
Primacron.
Optimal Primacron Konnichiwa. Next listener question from Alana. Says, hello, Vangelis and Sidekicks. I have a couple of questions. Sup.
Man, sup. I'm like a crappy last generation cell phone.
Oh man, I forgot about the Sidekick already. Oh, that brings me back. I almost wanted a Sidekick back when they came out, because I thought they looked so cool. Anyway, hello,
Vangelis. Now you've got three, apparently.
Yeah. No one hack into any of them and steal my email like what happened to whoever that famous pop star was that happened to. Because Sidekicks were dumb and kept all the emails like on a like remote
Lindsay
server.
Lohan, I think?
Yeah, yeah. She like shot...
I think it was Paris Hilton.
One of those doofy, airheaded... Whatever.
They're all worse.
Clot wits.
They're all the same. They're silhouettes of meat.
Yes. Anyway, quote, I have a couple questions, one semi-serious and one totally ridiculous, and hopefully the answers to both will be entertaining to listen to. Less than three. My first question has to do with the direly low number of female Transformers in most of the cartoons, comics, and movies, not to mention toys, where Blackout can get a TFA toy, but Stryka can't. And may I mention how direly unfair that is when Stryka is so awesome? I actually have to agree about Stryka constantly being robbed of coverage. TFA had a rather interesting twist, though, in the form of Red Alert, and to a lesser extent, Slipstream, both girl characters that were originally male or cloned from a male character. Personally, I thought that was awesome, and tip my hat to DJW. Hat has been tipped to DJW. I hope you respect the tipped hat. But now, and here is the actual question, I wish to know what male TFs you guys think would make awesome female TFs in the theoretical future series, and why? Seth!
Oh, why even choose? Just do the full-on Rule 63 and complete gender swap everybody.
Okay, I actually want to point out, I didn't know what Rule 63 was until just about a second ago when I pieced it together when you said it, so thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome.
Hope you all like it. All right, so Seth's answer is everyone.
All of them. Straight across the board. No exceptions. No reasons.
Drew, do you have an answer to this question?
Konnichiwa. I do not like... I don't know. It was kind of interesting, I guess, to see a different version, but it doesn't matter. We'll anger the masses and say Grimlock. Let's see what happens.
I could dig it. Good answer. Gog, how do you answer the question?
Unicron.
Yes.
I want to see a giant soul-sucking bitch.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes. There we go. All you have to do is give her a little Viking hat, and she's already there.
I mean, like, okay, throw it out there. No disrespect, but... Just when you said Unicron, and in my mind, I was like, who would play female Unicron? Like, the name literally snapped into my mind like a rubber band. Like, I was actually scared with how fast that happened. Good answer. I'm not sure. It's a very interesting question. I'm not looking at it with the more, you know, creep side of things. I'm more so looking at it with the Red Alert example of take a name and divorce it from an existing male character.
Oh my god, I just found a female Unicron picture.
Thanks for telling me. Oh, look, you posted it in Skype chat. Excellent. I'm going to go look at it.
Oh, that was a different one.
Oh. Wait a second.
Oh, Drew.
Wait a second. Sugar Thrusters? Because I might know who made Sugar Thrusters. I know who drew this Sugar Thrusters picture. This was actually... Yeah, this was something from City of Heroes. A couple friends of mine were having
that's
a...
That's creepy. Let's see the female Unicron.
Seth. Okay, hang on.
Sugar Thrusters, shouts out to Dragonberry and my bro Shia. I forgot which of you were responsible, but I'm pretty sure it was some combination of the two of you.
Deal with it.
Oh, God.
No, man, she's got to be fatter. But, okay, that'll work, I guess.
I don't know.
She has weird abs.
I think Rosie O'Donnell is better.
This feels like it's not going all out. This feels like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. It's just Unicron with tits.
Like this,
we need more than that.
This feels like someone copped out on it. Like someone's like, hey, all right, you got the job. Draw Femme Unicron. And the guy went like, I don't know if I should. And like, yeah, this is...
To be fair, that's not that bad. That's like the nicest coloring I've seen on one of these pictures.
You know, you're right.
The shading on the breast is not... Actually, that bad either. We can't post this though because it's gonna break rules. But
well, you know, like technically, it doesn't break rules. The coloring is what makes it break rules. Because they're not really like there are.
That's on you. That's on you. You're the mod for that forum.
Well, I'm not gonna post it, but I'm just saying. Oh, wait a second. Sorry. Okay, I just went close up to look at the coloring and not yeah. But this
can
unit,
I, can I?
Femme
can
Unicron
I
still has
legit?
The beard. Like, look the.
Oh yeah.
That's weird.
It's legit because there's a light source, and then there's a secondary light source. Then that's what makes it legit. So good job on whoever colored that. Otherwise, never going to look at it again.
I'm still disappointed. I thought this was going to be a little bit... I mean, yeah, good coloring, but line art is... Clean line art, but again... what was I... I totally lost my train of thought now. Because Seth's been off...
Unicron with tits will do that to you.
Seth's been off Rule 63 and completely... Oh, I can't believe...
There's a lot of really not good stuff to be found.
I know.
I found Godzilla monsters.
Omega Supreme should be female in the next Transformers series, and should be played exactly the same as a normal Omega Supreme, but should be voiced by a woman. And see what happens. Question answered. Alana's second question is, quote, and my second question, colon, if you were a young fan writing a Transformers story and you decided to make up a character, what would their origin story be? As examples, mysterious third factions, swords that talk about how awesome the character is, and being part of the Alternity are all allowed because this is the ridiculous question. So, Gog, what is your ridiculous answer?
I would want a character that was on prehistoric Earth during the Beast Wars. It took the form of a dog. That character somehow found himself in a stasis lock. Someone dug him out. He regained consciousness, but was not able to transform. And he has been either stuck in a pound or stuck with some really horrible master for the entirety of his days. And cannot find a way out. And he searches for ways to be able to transform and escape, but he can't.
Up until the downer back end of that, I thought you were just like, I thought you were writing the fan fiction for like Transformers Beast Wars Toby.
I mean, that I would fully support a Beast Wars transforming Jack Russell, but
it's I would
not
too.
Happen sadly. But
yeah.
If they can make a giraffe and a penguin.
Well, they can, but those days are gone, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
the Japanese Beast Wars series where they started doing ridiculous stuff like owl clocks and stuff. I mean, those days, you know, that was the time when something like that would have happened. But that's 10 years gone now. So,
customizers get to work.
Yeah, get the Radicons on it. Let's make it happen.
Jack Russell, make us Beast Wars Alternity Toby.
Let's bring this dream to reality. Let's do it.
Drew,
to it.
What would your younger self writing a fan fiction make up as a character for an origin story?
I think it'd be a transtector, like Master Force, baby. Yeah. Right?
Woo! Good man. There you
go. Sounds good, right?
Maybe like Lander's buddy.
Yeah. Flyer.
What do you do? Guess.
It's flyer, but
I'll give you a hint. It's flying.
That was, I don't know. The idea of that is actually really amusing to me, and I'd love to see it happen. Seth, what would your younger self write?
I don't know what my younger self would have written. I don't know. Probably something dumb. But I mean, I actually had an idea for a story that that would tell how Starscream became like leader of the Seekers. Like he was in one of the lower ranking Seekers, and there was already a Seeker leader that he betrays and assassinates and takes command. So I would make up that guy who only exists to die.
Man, Seth like came out with like legitimate fan fiction out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm never going to do anything with it because I'm never going to sit down and write it, but I have some structure ideas of how the assassination goes down.
Oh, I'm actually glad to hear a more grounded fiction, like thought out, this was already in my head answer. I was wondering if I'd get one.
I actually have this big, long, like kind of outline in my head of a Transformer history kind of a thing, like timeline and some specific events, but I'm never going to actually make it happen. I'm too lazy.
I've been in the position. I have like every fanboy of any fandom has a fanfic in them somewhere, and I have one in me somewhere, and I wrote bits of it, and so I would say I would like to do the origin story for a character I made up who was a dude who was I was reading the G2 comics, and they had the whole thing about what was it, like hereditary cell budding. And I thought it would be funny if Galvatron's mental damage had, like, hereditarily carried down to multiple generations of Transformers through cell budding. So it'd be all these, like, this asylum full of, like, crazy Galvatron-y screaming blah Transformers. And there'd be, like, a doctor who's trying to treat them, and he catches Galvatron psychosis. And that would be the character I'd make up. Because I like the idea of medical drama in Transformers. House.
He has a limp. He limps.
That's right.
And he's really British.
It's his big secret. Anyway.
I'm actually Britain. I don't know if we could tell. I'm trying to disguise my accent. Governor.
Hugh Laurie's like as far from Cockney as you can get.
It doesn't matter.
I was just watching a bunch of Blackadder, so it was kind of twice as funny to me.
I was voicing that character. I wasn't trying to be House.
Oh!
Whatever. That show's dumb anyway.
No, it's not!
Oh!
Drew, where's Drew?
What?
He said House is dumb, the show.
I mean, I can defend it.
Oh, I can't! You were supposed to be my backup!
That would have been awesome if
Drew was like, yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Like, I've watched the last half of an episode of House like three or four times, and I really dug what I saw.
Yeah. I watched like 3 minutes by accident once. Oh. I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, if you watch it repeatedly, you notice that it becomes the same trend. We're going to start with the person getting sick. Okay, cut to House jib-jabbing with the other doctors. All right, the person comes in. Commercial. All right, we've diagnosed it, and we don't really know what it is. It's definitely not lupus. Okay, next. Cut to commercial. Come back. Oh, no. House is in love with one of the female employees, and or one of the female employees is in love with another male employee. All right. Wait, I think I figured it out. It's definitely not lupus. It's this. They wouldn't show any signs of bleeding if, oh my God, they're showing all the signs I never expected. Boom. Cut to commercial. Come back. Wow, I can't believe that happened. A half hour later. Yep, we did it, team. House. Dun. Stay tuned for previews of next week's all new episode of
How. What's wrong with that? That was awesome.
That was kind of incredible how like that just flowed out of you. Like there was not a pause for breath during that.
Thank you. I've been taking improv classes.
And I think it's rad that my little throwaway troll line actually led to that happening. I personally, I don't care at all about House, and if people like it, fantastic. It's not like I have some crazy animosity toward the
thing. I was going to say, like, Seth, did you know there's like probably a House thread somewhere on TFW? You just go storming over there.
I didn't know Gamepads Unplugged was now about how much they hate House.
I know, man. If you heard my episode, that was all they talked about.
It used to be about how much we hated Prison Break, but that's not on anymore, so...
So thank you for those questions, Alana. They have created wonderful things. I'm not sure if they created what they were intended to, but they still created wonderful things, I think. It's time for some spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. So strap in your seatbelts and put on your magic hats, because we're going to totally blow the lid on everything you ever thought you knew and or didn't know about Transformers 3 by Michael Bay coming out in 2011.
Theaters.
God damn it.
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. You have been warned. Turn back now, or bury your penance for eternity.
Okay, so, first bit of breaking news. This is huge, guys, alright? I will just quote, TF3 director Michael Bay, quote, "Who is this moron posting about what I'm shooting with? ?" People have no idea how hard we have been working to bring 3D filming into live-action shooting, period. We have invented rigs and systems to play 3D cameras like no other live-action movie has ever done before, period. The proof will be noticed in the final product, period. Break, Michael." End quote. So, apparently Transformers 3 is in 3D even more than it was in 3D before. Is, the news.
D-Box.
So guys, how 3D is the movie for you now, Gog?
I've been unimpressed with 3D. I mean, I'll admit, I have not. The only 3D movie that I have seen in any recent time has been Avatar, like probably a lot of people. And every single movie that I've read reviews for that came out in 3D has urged moviegoers to avoid 3D versions. So I'm not really excited about it. Even when I watched Avatar, it was awesome as a proof of concept. But the glasses, because they are shaded, it just seems to make everything dimmer. And I found myself even when I take my glasses off to look at the screen, even though it's kind of blurry because of the 3D effect, without the glasses, you can't really see it that well. Just the brilliance of the colors on the screen, I found myself doing that several times, because I'm not really into the fact that the 3D glasses are literally you watching movies with sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to do is I will see the movie in 2D as normal. If I think the movie is worthy for a second viewing, and B, people believe that the 3D is passable and adds something to the movie, then I may see it a second time in 3D. Otherwise, if neither of those are true, then there's not a chance in hell. I mean, and who knows, I might not even want to see the movie a second time. And if I do and the 3D is bad, then I'll just see it a second time in 2D.
Hey! All right. Drew, Transformers 3 is still in 3D. Do you think it will be called Transformers 3D?
Yes, I do. Why would they pass up that golden opportunity?
I'm just saying, maybe it slipped under someone's radar.
No. Pat, no. That's not slipping under anyone's radar. You saw those question marks in that period. So.
I did. I know. Sorry. Do you think you're going to check it out in 3D?
I might. I did the IMAX for the first one, and I had not done that before to go see a movie in IMAX. So, but then again,
how'd you like the IMAX? Just the regular IMAX.
I loved it. But that first movie is really special in my opinion. So I really enjoyed it. So, what do I know?
You know where the D goes in the 3D.
Because my name starts with D.
Pachong! Seth.
Yeah. I have an active disdain for 3D at this point. I'm sick of it being rammed down our throats. If there is a 2D option, that is the choice I will make at my local theater. If the only option is to see it in 3D, then I'll groan, roll my eyes, and pay the extra couple of bucks for, as Gog said, the pair of sunglasses. Seeing Up in 3D, I thought the 3D spoiled that movie for me because it did darken the colors. And so, here's the big epic scene where all the balloons come out and the house floats away, and the sunlight is coming through the balloons and it's casting all these brilliant colors on the sides of skyscrapers, and now it's dim and dreary looking because of these lame-ass 3D glasses.
Real
and
life, that scene, man.
That scene wasn't even in 3D. Like, so much of that movie wasn't even in 3D. It was, I was angry. That spoiled, 3D spoiled Up for me. And it's really too bad because Pixar always makes awesome movies. So, like you jokingly said about it, them calling the movie Transformers 3D, if it won't happen, but if by some bizarre reason that does happen and it is called Transformers 3D, I will not go to the theater. I'm going to boycott that movie, and I'm not even joking because that's just going to piss me off because that's so jackass. I won't be party to it. And Michael Bay seems so fired up about how awesome his 3D is compared to what people think 3D is. It's like he's going to go fight James Cameron over it.
Yeah,
I'm the new king of three dimensions.
Yeah, I mean James Cameron invested years into perfecting the 3D for that movie. I just have a hard time believing Michael Bay's claim that he's going to come in and just completely own the technology all of a sudden out of nowhere. But, I mean, who knows? We'll see.
He rigged up a new dolly. It's like, great. Awesome. So, are they actually shooting it with 3D cameras?
Yes.
Or is this all a plan for... Okay.
As far as I understand, that's why I'm not totally down on it because...
that's definitely something in its favor because most movies lately have not done that.
And like post-produced 3D can work sometimes, but 99% of the time, not only does it not work, but it doesn't work because they shot it all together in like the last minute. Like Clash of the Titans, for instance, where there's 3D in about 5 minutes of the movie. Like that's it.
Yeah, and Up, where there's just a handful of scenes. Yeah, and from what I'm hearing is studios are getting better at the post-production 3D. Like, they're figuring out, like, the mistakes that were made. They're investing more time into making it better. But it seems like, you know, if it's going to be in 3D, just shoot the damn thing in 3D to begin with. And it's a different situation with animated movies, where they just render everything at a shifted angle, and then you get the whole thing in 3D if you choose to, and not just cheap out like Up and only do a handful of scenes, because they were doing it at the last second because some other crappier movie was coming out in 3D like the weekend before or something. So, now everything has to... Oh, no, I think DreamWorks had just announced that all of their animated movies were going to be in 3D from now on. And then Pixar was like,
flail!
Pick four scenes and make it in 3D and then spoil the whole movie.
Yeah, I actually agree with you guys. Like, okay, I'll be as upfront as I can to open up. I actually dig 3D, and I think 99% of the time in modern 3D, it really doesn't work. I'll actually totally agree with you guys. The sunglass factor is really dumb, especially when you look at, like, and I know it's a handheld, but when you hear about things like, you know, the things the Nintendo 3DS does without glasses, immediately I think to myself, then why do we still have glasses if Nintendo's able to do it on a handheld? I granted, a handheld, you can, you're holding the entire screen and you're moving it around, of course, but you know, the just the semantics of it, you think to yourself,
yeah, you,
why
you also have to the... you also have a little 3D adjustment lever, and most people have
well,
to adjust that.
I was just going to say real quick, go ahead, you go first.
I think we all Skyped through each other there.
No. Gog, you take point.
I think he really Skyped out.
Furthermore about the show House, I'll tell you what. You know what doesn't work? House in 3D. I've seen it twice.
It's going to happen because they are pushing 3D TV hard to the...
They are.
That's where I really don't want it. At home with glasses that you have to recharge because they're battery powered and heavier than the glasses in theater. Ugh,
well, no, I mean... I really hope that the industry looks at the 3DS and the fact that they're doing 3D without glasses on a handheld video game system, and that they feel sheepish and say, okay, we have to step the hell up our game because
well,
we're being made to look fools by the guys who make the Wii.
My understanding, or the DS, not the Wii.
I mean, you know, Nintendo, but, you know, I'm trying to offer a corporate trivialization of Nintendo as a company in
that. I get your drift now. Yeah. No, but my understanding with, like, the way that screen works for the 3DS is that that type of screen does not do well big. Like, it's working because you could get away with it small, but you wouldn't want a 50-inch TV in your house that does that. And there have been some other no glasses 3D screens that have been shown, but it's like you have to look at them dead on, like any angle whatsoever, you lose it. But like with 3D in theaters, there's two or three different types, and like one type you have to give the glasses back, and I forget what that's called, and then there's Real D where they let you keep the glasses, and you could even go to the Real D site and like buy more expensive 3D glasses that you've keep, like with designer frames and other nonsense, and maybe you could get a prescription. I don't know. I didn't investigate it that hard.
So if you have a 3D prescription, like contact lenses, does that mean you just see in shaded all the time?
Yeah. Well, like, for someone like me that wears glasses already, 3D is extra annoying, because now you have glasses on your glasses.
I agree. Yo, I agree.
I heard you like wearing glasses.
That's why I always like to say that, you know, I am in the position to despise 3D, and at the end of the day, I like the effect when it works out well, so I still want to stick up for it despite the fact I cannot defend it to any degree whatsoever. That's why with Transformers, if it's in 3D, I'll see it in 3D for sure, but I'll probably also see it in 2D so I can get the full experience. Hopefully, maybe by the time it comes out, they'll have figured out a way to not have the glasses shaded. I don't know, but like,
no, that's not gonna happen. But
I mean, just,
with because they have to be polarized, and that's where the shading comes from. They're separate polarizations. But if, so like, it's like $2 more to see the movie in 3D. And so like with a Real D theater, if you can just save those glasses from last time, or for some reason you're a goofball that bought the expensive ones off the website, if you could bring those with you, and when you get to the little window and you say, one ticket for dumb 3D movie, Clash of the Titans, I have my own glasses, and you hold them up, and they go, oh, okay, $2 discount, because we don't have to hand you this pair of glasses that cost money. Then I would be less against that, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't want to pay $2 more to see a movie in a format that I don't really want to see to begin with, because it's the only option at that theater.
Oh, definitely. If there's no option, it is annoying. Just, in my case, like, I've been able to deal with having the glasses over my glasses. The 3D doesn't give me headaches or motion sickness, and I like the effect. So, I like to see 3D, and I enjoy it to a degree, but it has a lot of hurdles, a lot of roadblocks, a lot of indefensible cons, and, the main reason why I would want to see Transformers in 3D is only because they shot it on 3D cameras, and those are the, like, I don't watch 3D movies in 3D that don't do that, except for Clash of the Titans, because that was the only time I could see it. But I will support a movie if they get, you know, if they actually go out and get the right you know, camera for the effect they're trying to do, then yeah, I am totally cool with that. That's why I'm not averse to Transformers being in 3D, because at least they're using the hardware. But I think it's also like there's such a huge just wave of, you know, on the web, everyone is like, ah, 3D, scourge of Hollywood, and they're kind of right. But because I enjoy it a little bit, I can't really get on the train because I'd kind of be lying to myself. So I just think
they're pushing it too hard.
Oh, definitely.
It's like,
yeah,
everyone's forcing it to happen. Like in the movie industry is forcing it to happen, the television industry is forcing it to happen. The video game industry is lining up. Like, I don't know what kind of plans Microsoft might have, but Sony's already, like, doing full across-the-board product advertisement about 3D, and I know they've had something to say about PlayStation games being in 3D in the near future. And they got Justin Timberlake and Football Man to promote it, so... I don't know where that combo came from.
I agree, it's getting way too, you know, shoved down your throats, because on my end, the reason why I don't like it is because it's getting shoved down throats so much. Every time something really stupid pops out again with 3D, it makes it harder for me to convince people I'm not insane when I say, I actually kind of dig 3D, because they're like, you what? And I'm like, well, I have these reasons for it. Yeah, it's like, I have these good reasons for it, which are very legitimately getting drowned out by the sheer volume of lousy 3D that is all over the place. So, that's why I'm of two minds about it, because I will enjoy a giant robot movie in 3D, shot on 3D cameras, but I certainly won't be able to defend the nature of 3D and the negatives therein. Gog, are you still with us?
I think so.
Okay, we lost you pretty hardcore somewhere back there in a mass Skype out. Those are my thoughts on the 3D. Did you have anything you wanted to add? Because I think there was like a hiccup and three of us were merged into one for a second.
No, I'm fine.
We were the Living Tribunal from Marvel 616. It's a comic reference. The next spoiler topic is...
That's a really good one.
I know, thank you. I feel good about it. More Transformers 3 spoilers and rumors from Detroit. Because they've been doing stuff in Detroit. Now, the thing is, I didn't keep up with some rumors, and then I read this one, which kind of was... It was kind of fun, because I'm like, alright. They're like, remember the giant jet engine we saw? I was like, no. So, apparently, there is jumping from a ship to a building involving a derailed train called the Mayor's Mile. And there is a dude transforming to reveal himself, orchestrating chaos on Earth. And they won't say who. But I'm guessing it's the new villain for the movie. And there's a big jet engine, and there's a giant gun fitted to it. And I think, what was it? There was something about an object being lowered on a car and crushing it, which is probably a mark for a robot stepping on a car. So... with this amazing assembled information, Gog, what do you think about it?
Well, I mean, it seems pretty obvious at this point. It's probably going to be Shockwave, but the we got some pictures here of this engine thing with a picture of Shia sitting on top of it, and from the angle that we see, it looks like a. From the angle that we see it, this giant construct looks like a giant Ed 209 head from RoboCop with the guns on either side. It looks kind of neat thinking about it like that, but so yeah. I don't know. I mean, it can look cool.
Giant guns are always neat.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. It looks cool. We don't really know what it is. It's kind of a piece of something that's going to be rendered more in CG during the movie, but it definitely looks like it's well armed, and you know, that suits Shockwave. Seeing as he transforms into a gun and has guns built into his body, and so yeah, we'll see.
Flying gun, Drew. How do you feel about this dose of Transformers 3 filming news?
I'm very ecstatic. I look forward to jumping. I look forward to jumping in 3D.
Oh, me too.
I look forward to jumping in 3D on the set of House. While I sit there and critique it, so all these things really appeal to me.
I'm on the same page more or less. I'll explain more later. But Good man. Seth, how do you feel about this latest Detroit info?
Well, Shia sitting on the gun reminds me of, like, Human Alliance Bumblebee with the gun seat arm thing. So maybe they're working that into this movie series.
Oh, that'd be wicked.
So there's this dude orchestrating chaos, like human dude. Thing, is that what you were talking about?
I thought it was a robot dude, but...
Oh, robot dude. Okay. You see, I misunderstood what you were saying, and then I got confused, and then I started making up stories about who this human dude was orchestrating chaos.
General Morshower?
Nobody... No, actually, it's Senator Kelly from the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
He's... Because he got tired of chasing mutants around, so now he's turning the population against the Autobots, because that's his new thing, because that's what he does. He's a bigot. Anyway, yeah.
A bigot versus the robot.
Robot. Yep, got tired of picking on the muties. Yeah, I don't know. The gun... if that is part of Shockwave... That would be cool. I'm guessing he's going to have some sort of flying mode. But, yeah, I don't know. This is another case of there's just not enough information.
When you said Senator Kelly, that made me think of Brett Ratner, and that brought me back.
Brett Ratner, bitches! Wow! This movie's going to be off the chain!
Retro!
We got people jumping. We got Famke Janssen being evil. We got... Puppies? Eating other puppies? We got San Francisco? Oh,
dude, what if they made X3 like nowadays? It would be X3D.
X3D!
Then I would have boycotted it and saved myself that trouble.
They need to have more third parts of movies come out right now. It's so perfect. Everything. Pirates of the Caribbean 3D. Everything. Oh, man.
Return of the Jedi?
Star Wars 3D.
Yeah. Oh, you could have Return of the Jedi, 3D. But the E, there, it's all capital letters, but the E is backwards.
Oh!
So it says Return of the Jedi, but the 3D is
oh,
in.
Oh, my God. If
good
only.
God. Good God. You know, I'm gonna. I don't want to make that right now, but somebody make that in Photoshop right now.
Well, there is an E in Transformers, so
Transformers. It's not working.
No, you don't pronounce it.
Oh,
you just do it.
Well, you have to stick the D in there somewhere, though.
So yeah, but like these trailers have more Department of Health and Services. That seems to be a thing that keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
Department of Health and Services, and so can't wait to find out what that's about. Because in the first movie they used Geiger counters to find Sam and prove that he had contact with all the Transformers are radioactive and everyone's getting cancer. That's why everyone turns on the Autobots.
Transformers crossovers, Dr. Manhattan is incoming.
Yes, everyone's getting robot cancer. And doctors need to save the day.
Robot.
Like actual doctors. Not little spidery
not
robot
doctors.
Not doctors,
scientists.
Yes.
Doctor scientists. Science doctor.
He's got a huge goatee. Hello, I'm Dr. Scientist. I'm here to stop the radiation robot cancer.
What was that from? Seth had something a long time ago that he called Dr. Scientist. Was that? I think that was another just spur of the moment character he came up with.
I called you Dr. Computer Scientist.
Oh yeah. Dr. Computer Scientist. That was like single digits, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It was a long time ago.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
No, Gog was like explaining how to fix something on a computer, and I went, "All right, Dr. Computer Scientist, whatever you say."
That was like 2 years ago. That was nuts. All right.
Moral of the story is that Brett Ratner's back and 3D is in.
It's ratting it up. You know, I just hope this whole this Department of Health and Services, it better actually be a thing, because didn't somebody like bring up the possibility that it's all like a swerve, like it's something that they're just putting on the set to throw people off?
Could be
like a modern day Blue Harvest. don't do that. That's been done. Don't be a copycat. You're already ripping off James Cameron. Don't rip off George Lucas.
Well, you know, at the same time, a lot of people kind of called out Michael Bay. When Michael Bay on Revenge of the Fallen, he was all like, oh man, I am going to swerve you guys so hardcore you won't believe it. And everyone saw straight through all of his ruses. Maybe he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to step up the game. I'm going to pull a Blue Harvest, only I'm going to do it better.
Yeah. by better, I mean instead of going out in a forest, I'm going to do it right in the middle of major population zones. Large urban cities.
Anyway, that's
Did you know that forest where they shot those scenes for Return of the Jedi? Like, that part of the Redwood Forest doesn't exist anymore. It's all been logged away.
What happened to Wicket?
Return of the Jedi 3D, yeah.
What happened to Wicket?
Wicket died.
He grew up and became Willow.
Okay, I can see it.
Well, that's the same actor. Warwick Davis.
I can see it.
Was Wicket, and then he was Willow. And then he did that episode of Extras with Ricky Gervais that was really funny. And then it just goes from there.
On that excellent note, that's been your spoiler section. So thank you for tuning in, everybody, because that also means we've reached the end of the show. So I will see you all next week, and these fellows will see you all in 2 weeks. And by see, I mean we all look at
you.
No
way.
We look at you from your headphones, and your guys' ears are all dirty. You should use Q-tips more. Although I actually heard Q-tips are bad for your ears, which I find ludicrous because I was brought up thinking... Q-tips are... Well, they say, you know, you're not supposed to actually use Q-tips in your ears because you'll leave cotton deposits behind, and that will grow sheep in your ears, and that's bad for your hearing.
Well, I know if you go in too hard and deep, that's bad. But that's kind of the case with almost anything. But, yeah. Like, when I get out of the shower, man, I need Q-tips. I can't stand having that water in my ears. It just, drives me bananas. Bananas.
Well, the moral of the story is
walking down this day.
Moral of the story is don't ever go in too hard and too deep. Good night, everybody.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, the way the music kicked in there was perfect.
I'm going to stop there. I believe that we had a musical suggestion for this week's intermission. Cog, that's your cue to remind me to...
It's like a triple rainbow.
I was hoping that you'd actually, like, you know, step in and go like, yes, today we'll be playing the music from the...
I figured you'd just play it, and then when we talked about it on the listener question, then we would reference it. Because I was going to use that as one of my favorites as the answer. From the intermission, which you heard, that's my favorite.
Okay, I'll do that instead. So okay. No one will ever know about our faux pas. This is totally going to be after the music at the end of the
podcast. Yeah, right.
All right, so I'll stick that in.
So what the hell is...